Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and it's great to be here. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, September 13th, 2021. Hello, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Can you ask me a question? How come Monday follows so close behind Friday?
I know. It does seem like...
We just told you by an hour ago, and here we are again.
I know.
Gosh.
We're going to have to take a longer weekend.
Yeah, we are. We should apply for 3-day weekends.
We should.
Yeah.
How about that? That's doable.
It is doable, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. People just have to get used to it.
Well, I believe I could adjust.
I could, too.
I'm sorry. You go ahead. I just give you a hard time.
I always wanted to retire by the time I was 40.
What, you're 39, you got a year to go.
I know. So, anyway, we had a decent day in gold today. It's up $6. Early morning trade, it was lower though, but we're still under 1,800, 1,794. Silver is up 4 pennies today at $23.82. Platinum was up $5 at $967. Palladium was down $54 at $2,166. USDX today was up 0.05 at 92.67. Crude oil was up 84 cents at 70.56. And the paper markets today, the Dow was up 261 points, snapping a 5-day losing streak, 34,869. S&P was up 10, 4,468. The NASDAQ was down 10 points at 15,105. Europe was positive across the board. Asia, except for Hang Seng, was negative by 1.5%. 10-year yield today was down 0.017, 1.324%. Didn't have a chance to. We were busy today trying to get a lot of shipping done and everybody processed and... I haven't had a chance to follow a lot of the news today in the financial markets, other than, you know, it's pretty much trying to get their $3.5 trillion bill passed, trying to hike taxes.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
we'll cover we're going to cover those. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh. True. I know. It is. And, so other than that, I don't think there was anything, well, I guess everything is earth-shattering, but on the other hand, let me see if I can pull up any U.S. consumers' inflation expectations. That's the highest since 2013. This comes out of the New York Fed. Let's see... The U.S. August budget deficit falls as revenues recover. Those are just some of the headlines, but it's just really... Here's one I don't know if you had that I thought was really interesting about zippers and glass.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. I do.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start.
You want to get that now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And because we talk a lot about shortages and how it's affecting the various companies, the auto deals and the auto companies and so forth. And... But when we talk about supply chains, it's more than just the chip shortages. And metals, plastics, wood, even liquor bottles are now the norm for shortages, Butch.
I know. And just a sideline, too. I still work part-time for a company. I worked for years the selling industrial supplies. I have an account that ordered some 7/8 flange nuts 3 or 4 months ago. And they were out of the stock, the ones you wanted. They're called plated. They're zinc-plated. They had black ones. They wanted zinc-plated. Well, they didn't have them. And they'd be said up to 30 weeks before they got them in. But they had to have some nuts, so they ordered the black ones. And they're using them. They said they're not quite as good as what they wanted. But they ordered some more today. The red ones, I called the check with the company and said, well, I said, I got some good news, some pretty good news, and some maybe better news. He said, the real good news is, better news is, that their nuts are going to be available real soon, but they're still 4 weeks out before we're going to get them. But so you know, they're going to have them, but they're running out of hardware. Certain sizes of certain hardware, nuts and bolts and different brass and all these things, are shortages. Now, I never really thought about the little things like a nut, but they're, you know, they ran out of them. The supplies are hard to find. So they said they were going to get about 600 of them in, and I called the company, the customer, and I said, you normally get 200. If I were you, I'd double them now just in case next time you won't be so far behind. So he doubled the order, so we'll have him in about a month. But, yeah, there are shortages in a lot of different ways, Melody. This is not the first thing I run into. Mm-hmm. There were some months back when I ran out of hand sanitizer and other things for a while. So this is nothing new, but this article you mentioned, this is out of North Carolina. For Lauren Reich, it's the little things that have snarled production at her tent factory, like the many shades of black Velcro. Diamond Brand COO, Lauren Reich, stands, and let's see, talk about what you're doing and what kind of shelf shit has there. But anyway, said she's facing a lean supply management has been upended by global shortages and bottlenecks at Diamond Brand factory in Fletcher, outside Asheville, North Carolina. Her company, Diamond Brand, just launched a new line of high-end wall tent called the Liminal, thick with vents and fasteners, but demanded by discerning campers. But that means using lots of Velcro. That's a problem because black Velcro comes in many shades, depending on the type of raw plastic resin used to make them. If I have an older stock and put it with a new, the colors won't match, said Reich. Black is not black is not black. Before supply chain breakdowns and shortages swept the world in the wake of the COVID pandemic, buying the bits and pieces for assembly line was often as easy as clicking a button, or waiting a few days or at most a few weeks for delivery, not anymore. You said shortage of plastics and everything else, but the upshot is a world where buyers must wait for delivery of items that were once plentiful if they can get them at all. Now, I know that sounds silly, but folks, we take so much for granted. We have for years. Never been a problem before. Reich has piles of tents she can't ship because she can't get the right aluminum tubing for their frames, for instance, while others lack the right zippers. Along with the shortages come hefty price increases. Listen up, folks. Hefty price increases, which has fueled fears of a wave of sustained inflation. Yes, supply prices are going up, and that means that the demand, that means that the consumer will pay the difference. This is a fact. Get used to it. This isn't over yet by any means. As a matter of fact, I think just getting started. But who would have thought that you ran out of aluminum tubing, Velcro, and zippers? Who would have thought about that? And I always hated button-up flies and pants. Hope we don't go back to that. Anyway,
I hope so, too.
Gracious. But, yeah, that's just a sign of times. It's happening. It's happening. Anything else you want to add to that?
Well, they were talking about the bike industry, too, and I shared my story, a year ago, that it took me 6 months. They were a million backs behind schedule, a million bicycles behind production and so forth, and took me 6 months. I guess that's probably a little bit longer now, I would assume. But a lot of these bicycles are made in Asia. It's heavily concentrated in Asia. And Asian factories have seen this time and time again. Brent Graves, CEO of Cane Creek Cycling Components. It's another small manufacturer in Fletcher, North Carolina. But they rely heavily on Asian suppliers for bike parts. They say, well, we will run some extra overtime, but in terms of raw investments and facilities on the whole, they are reluctant to do it. So they're not, you know, these places aren't ready to build new plants or anything to try to produce the products that needed. But again, we've been hearing, Butch, and I've been told several times, that folks who do business in Asia and so forth, there's rumors that, you know, these Asian companies are hoarding. They have it, but they're hoarding it. So they're not shipping it. So
that could mean they want to increase prices. Hmm.
It can mean a lot of things.
It can mean greed setting in. And do you remember years ago, it used to have a thing on a much better thing about said made in the USA. You remember those days?
I do.
Remember those? And we could buy our own zippers made in USA. We could buy our own clothing made in USA. You could buy a pair of shoes, the size you wore is the size you wore. Then you have to try them on every time you turn around. But no longer. So now that we have enemies, and even just so to say competitors making our clothing and everything we need, why would they not raise prices on us, and what can we do about it? Where do we stand? Well, are we going to start manufacturing here again overnight? Of course not, and they know that. Mm-hmm. Talk about opening yourself up for a thievery, so to speak. I mean, talk about opening ourselves up for all manner of shortages on purpose. Imagine them doing it to us.
Imagine.
Wow. Golly.
So anyway, that, we talk a lot about control, but look who's controlling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And people say, well, you're going to pay more, U.S. Would you rather pay more and have a good product on hand or not be able to get it at all? Or pay more and it does get here because it's been made overseas and we can't make it any longer. Either way, folks, you're going to pay. If they jack the prices up from Asia, you're going to pay. I'd just soon pay an American worker an extra couple dollars than I would pay a China or Vietnam or anywhere else a couple dollars because they're holding it up because of greed. Just we cut our own throats because we want cheap goods, we want them quickly, and we demanded it as consumers. We are a consumer nation, folks. We manufacture very little anymore. We're a consumer nation, and consumer nations don't get to run the game. It's the one who produced the products that get to run the game. So we shouldn't sit back and whine too much. We let it happen to ourselves. Go ahead, Billy. I'll be quiet a minute.
No. No, I mean, you're absolutely correct, and this is, but we're here now, we know this now, so, this is what we face, and what we're experiencing is all part of things that have been unfolding for a very long time, and, it'll continue to just get a little worse, it'll become a little more noticeable, and again, this has been going on for decades and decades, folks who listen to, programs like this and other ones, I mean, you're very well aware of what has happened and so forth. And, it's just not getting, and it won't get any better. I mean, this is the path that we're on. And as we'll just see this all unfold. And things are getting really bizarre out there.
Well, years and years ago, I was going to work one morning, and I heard a preacher. And you think preachers know better, but they don't. UPS on strike. And he said, the government ought to take it over. I thought, oh, what an ignorant statement. This on the radio, I heard him say this. What an ignorant statement. We have trusted the government to take over everything, and now they're taking over everything that as far as shipping our businesses overseas. They took it over in Denver, folks. We allowed it. But nonetheless, that's where we are. We depend on the government. We depend on our bills. We no longer depend on ourselves. We're in a mess. It is. And now, if you live in New York State, it's probably not a good place to be, Mel. I guess you heard that top-earning New Yorkers are going to be facing 61.2% in income tax. Did you see that?
Well, there goes some more out of New York.
Oh, top-earning New Yorkers could face 61.2% combined tax rate in their house plan. Under the house plan, Californians may face 59% rate. Wow, I get to work for 30 cents on the dollar. How lucky I am. 39 cents on the dollar. Gee whiz. The proposals include a 3% surtax on taxpayers earning more than $5 million a year. They would also raise the top marginal income tax rate to 39.6%. The plans would preserve the 3.8% net investment income tax and extend it to a certain pass-through companies. The result is a top marginal federal income tax rate of 46.4%. The House plan still a proposal and could have changed. Its combined rates for New York City would be among the highest in nearly 40 years. And they say, well, there's only people making $5 million a year. Folks, when they raise the tax on the wealthy, they pass it down to the not-so-wealthy. Taxation on businesses do not work. Oh, they work. They'll pay them, but they will pay to the businesses. So they work for the government. Everybody else gets a shaft. So Why not? Why not just keep it going like it is? Just keep on taxing. Don't worry about it. We got to cover the budget. And we're going to get, in a minute, after get a chance, we're going to discuss this next tax hike that the Democrats want. And it's going to be something that all of us should be concerned about, because it's going to affect me and you. Because the tax is going to be on working families and small businesses. And businesses, again, will be taxed. But that will come back down to you and I, because we will pay that tax through inflationary prices. Melody, we don't have a lot of time before next break, but if you like, I'll go ahead and start this article if you want me to.
Yes, go ahead.
House Democrats are proposing almost $3 trillion in tax increases, including tax increases on small business and working families. Now, we heard Biden say that he's not going to do this. This is going to be on rich people alone. Of course, you can trust him like you could Trump. This is the largest tax increase since 1968 compared to the size of the economy, and the largest tax increase ever in nominal dollars. Largest tax increase ever in nominal dollars. Some of these tax increases include raising taxes on working families by increasing the federal corporate income tax rate from 21 to 26.5%. So, over 5% raise. This tax increase will be passed along to working families in the form of higher prices, fewer jobs, and lower wages. Let me repeat that to you. The tax increase will be passed along to the working families in the form of higher prices, fewer jobs, and lower wages. This will give the U.S. a combined state-federal tax of 30.9%, higher than our foreign competitors, including China, which is a 25% no corporate tax rate, and Europe, which is an average of 21.7%. Folks, we're going to be the highest in the world. According to Stephen Inton of the Tax Foundation, labor or workers bear an estimated 70% of the corporate income tax in the form of wages and employment. Similarly, a 2020 study by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that 31% of the corporate tax falls on the consumers. 31% of corporate taxes fall on consumers. A corporate tax increase will threaten the life savings of families by reducing the value of publicly traded stocks and brokerage accounts and over 401ks. Individual investors opened 10 million new brokerage accounts in 2020. At least 53% of households own stock. In addition, 80 million to 100 million people have a 401k, and 46.4 million households have an individual retirement account. All right, that's going to take a hit, folks. Raising the corporate tax, income tax rate will hit Americans with higher utility bills as the country tries to recover from the pandemic. Customers directly bear the cost of corporate income taxes imposed on utility companies. That's break time. But we're telling the folks, you're going to pay it. We're going to pay it. Back at the break.
We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. You know, Butch, going into the program, we're talking about taxes, and the one that I thought was interesting, too, is that there's a new 95% excise tax on medicines and socialist health care policy. This legislation creates a 95% excise tax on manufacturers and imposes an international reference pricing scheme that directly imports foreign price controls into the U.S. Now, you know, what's interesting is because, as always, we talked about this last week with I did with Dave, and I said the same thing. You know, you have, and it's either side, all talk about how they're going to reduce the cost of your medicines. And it's just a bunch of lies. You know, it's not going to happen. And here's something that just supports it. They're looking at a new excise tax on medicines and socialist health care policies.
95%.
I mean, come on. This proposal will reduce access to new life-saving and life-preserving medicines. According to research by Galen Institute, the U.S. had access to 90% of new cures launched between 2011 and 2018, a rate far greater than comparable foreign countries. For instance, the U.K. had access to 60% of medicines, Japan had 50%, and Canada had just 44%. So it's also going to threaten the high-paying manufacturing jobs across the country at a time we're just emerging again from the pandemic. So, you know, it's just...
Well, you know, I didn't get finished this article starting here because it's all tied together in taxes again. But a 95% increase?
That's what it says.
You
this is from Americans for Tax Reform.
Just 200%. What's the difference? I mean, come on. Yeah. Just go ahead and double it.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I was saying, raising the corporate income tax rate will hit Americans with higher utility bills as the country tries to recover from the pandemic. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but my utility bills have went up tremendously in the last 8 or 9 months. Customers directly bear the cost of corporate income taxes. Let me repeat that. Customers directly bear the cost of corporate income taxes imposed on utility companies. But folks, that's on any corporation. Investor-owned electric, gas, and water companies must get their billing rates approved by the respective state utility commissions. Therefore, if Democrats raise a corporate tax rate, they will have voted to raise utility bills. Think about what I'm telling you. Please, people, tell your friends that you don't tax corporations. They tax us. Indirectly, perhaps, but they tax us. And with a 95% increase on the cost of medicine, Melody, people can't afford it now. And I know when people say, well, we're not socialized. Oh, yes, my friends, we are socialized. We have been for a lot of years. It's just getting worse, especially under Obamacare. If you can't afford your medicine now, when it goes up 95%, what are you going to do then? Ask for another stimulus check? We need to face these things head on, Melody. This country's not getting any better in about any way, but economically it's still collapsing a little bit every day, is it not?
And you know what's the most irritating, though? I mean, you can't... People are just so deaf, dumb, and blind.
I know.
You know, they cheer... You know, they'll cheer either administration. Doesn't matter who's in there. Oh, they're working hard to lower our cost. Like, who do you really... Do you really believe they are? They can't. They won't. They'll disguise it like they do everything else. they might show you one or two, maybe a handful of medications. Oh, well, you know, this one, we got this cost down by half. And then in the back of everything, everything else doubles, or, you know, there's more taxes and so forth. It is passed on you. It's not going to change. That's the whole point of a fiat currency. Prices go up. They disguise it. In many, many ways and forms, they'll backdoor you. But you're paying, buddy. You're paying.
Oh, I guarantee you. It's like postage up 2% on stamps. Well, that's not bad. Well, yeah, it is bad. 54 cents, I think it is. But nonetheless, they don't tell much up on packages until you ship packages out. And packages go up considerably more than the stamps, don't you, Melody?
I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were paying $20 for just an average package for registered and insured. Now it's $45 and $50.
Absolutely. And that's the same thing with the ministries. We send out a book or something along out of here, and a tube of toothpaste, whatever. Shipping went up again this month, my friends. We can only soak that up so long. So you end up paying it. That's just the way it is. We've got to realize that they do quit buying the lies of the liberals and the conservatives. Quit buying their lies. And all that, as long as I've been alive, and I've been through a few different administrations, nothing has improved economically for anyone in this country except those who live off or live on welfare, and they get raises and bonuses where we get nothing.
No, it's improved for the politicians.
Exactly. Exactly. So there we go, folks. Quit kidding ourselves. No matter who's in office, it hasn't changed. It has not changed.
Again, we get the illusion that things are good. I mean, hey, if you're working, if you're retired, your portfolio is doing well for you, seems great. But it's behind the line, and what's beginning to happen is so many people that aren't as fortunate. And eventually, even though you're sitting there with and happy with your portfolio, you're still paying. It still doesn't buy as much as it did a year ago or a month ago. Your purchasing power continues to decline.
Well, you put money in the bank, interest rates what now? What is average interest rate? 0.25%?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's probably lower than that.
It
but is. You put in the bank because you're going to save money and gain some interest. But inflation right now is running, they're admitting to about between 5 and 8%. How much money you gain with money in the bank again? Think about it. Why not put in something solid, gold and silver? Oh, but gold and silver fluctuates. Gold is $1,800 an ounce right now. A year ago, it was running, what, Melody, 15, 12, 14 or 15?
What's that? What's your question?
Gold.
What about it?
Gold, about a year ago, was running about 1,400 an ounce.
Oh, about 2 years ago. Year and a half ago.
Yeah. So now it's running close to 18.
Yep.
So which would increase to most? $1,000 in a bank at less than 0.25% a year, or $1,000 worth of gold over the last couple of years?
Figure these things out. You have to truly understand gold, and gold's not going to respond all the time to a knee jerk reaction to something that's happening. You know, whether it be rumors of wars and so forth. But what you have to realize is everybody sells gold and silver as the prices are rising and so forth. But even if gold stays the same price and doesn't move a penny, it's still protecting your purchasing more than that fiat dollar.
Of course.
And I tell people too, yeah, I believe gold's going to go much, 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 much higher. Same way with silver. But you know what? If gold stayed the same price as it is today, and we have the quote-unquote reset that everyone's talking about, I would rather have gold at this price today. It doesn't even have to go up. You'll be the wealthiest person on your block, probably in the city that you live in, because that's how it's preserving your purchasing power. And yet everybody around you that has all the paper investments, they're going to zero. Or they're going to lose 50, 60, 70%. So gold doesn't have to go to the moon. It will, but it doesn't have to. And it still protects your purchasing power. People don't understand that importance. And we buy with the hopes of it going up. And that's okay. And I'm thinking we're going to see easy 5,000 gold. Easy. It's my opinion. or higher. Mr. Duffy out of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. This was 6 years ago. He said at that point in time, 6 years ago, gold should have been trading at $5,000 and $6,000. And this was the chairman of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So everybody knows where it's going. But hey, they're making money on the paper investments now. So, you know, they're going to take advantage of it. Did you see that one article about the Bitcoin?
No, I didn't.
There was a Litecoin. It's a crypto hoax. Pump and dump scheme. And I even had a couple customers say to me that there was a Walmart release, says crypto payments announcement. They were going to start, I don't know if they were going to start selling it or taking it or something like that. And I says, that's fake news. Walmart's not going to have anything to do with cryptocurrencies. And I was right. It was all a pump and dump on Litecoin. So it tumbled. All based on a Walmart fake news. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. But
anyway. It is interesting. And we have seen, you and I have seen, and I'm sure people anyway, anywhere near age, have seen a lot of changes to things we always thought were commonplaces in America. For example, a full-service service station. You know, I mean, that's almost a thing of the past. I haven't seen any around my area for a long, long, long time. Or a little country store in the corner where you went in and, you know, the guy got what you want off the shelves. These things are all things of the past. Here's something that I guess has to happen, but it's hard to understand. Everything must go. The American car dealership is for sale. Wow. A longtime fixture of American life is looking for a new model as more auto purchases move online and national chains gobble up neighborhood showrooms. Folks, I have seen many, many dealerships in my area go out of business in the last 30 years. Many of them. For nearly a century, the American car dealership has retained its iconic appearance, even as technology transformed every corner of the business and landscape. In towns across the country, local business titans lured customers to glass-walled showrooms and large asphalt lots where buyers bargain for the best price. The model is showing its age. The way people buy and sell cars is changing. More is happening online as buyers get comfortable with competing transactions remotely. It is a shift that started before the pandemic but accelerated over the last 18 months as COVID-19 spurred people to do more of the shopping from home and demand for cars unexpectedly surged. I will make this comment, this Melody. 10 years ago, at least, I showed it at one of our Bible studies on current events that you would soon buy cars out of a vending machine. I showed a picture of it. That'll never happen. Well, have you seen it? You see it on TV. They're doing that, right? Advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You buy them out of vending machines, folks. But I mean, when I shared these things even 10 years ago, I'm not making these up. I wouldn't put them on the air if I couldn't prove it. Back to the article, though. The auto dealership, as a result, could soon look like other parts of the business world upended by e-commerce. National chains instead of local small businesses will set prices and give salespeople less room to haggle. Dealers will hold fewer cars on the lot and operate more like service and delivery centers, using the dealerships as hubs where customers can pick up vehicles, order online, and get them serviced. Some larger dealership chains flush with cash are already scooping up smaller rivals, hoping that scale will help them dominate this transformation. The number of acquisitions last year hit 289, according to dealership consulting from Kerrigan Advisors, which was the highest count in years. Deals continue to climb this year, according to Kerrigan, up 27% in the first half of 2021. It was my time to ride off into the sunset, said John McBed, 73, a Denver area dealer who last year sold his sixth store chain to a larger dealership from Canada. Mr. Medved, a recognizable face and voice in local airwaves, said he wasn't sure how to connect with consumers who wanted to shop online. Nobody's seen anything. Nobody's touching anything. I can't do that, he said. So he's sold out to a bigger conglomerate. Folks, we're going to see the little, and there's many of them still around here. Actually, a couple of them went under in the last this year or so. Little dealerships that have been in business for 30, 40 years are closing their doors. They can't compete any longer. And some of these, like you said, this gentleman in Denver, selling out his dealerships, local dealerships, where you go, he had a family type response. You go in and you knew the guy that owned it, you knew the family, they were neighbors. That's going away. Same thing will happen in the local service stations and the local corner stores. And you knew the people in your community. They were neighbors and you got along just fine. And now conglomerates buy them out. You have no idea who runs them or where the food comes from, for example. You have no idea what the chain is, a supply. You just walk in and hope it's something on the shelf. Melody, that's just the way it's changed, hasn't it?
It sure has. I can remember, too, talking about a car, you know, you'd be buying cars off the computer online and, you know, so forth, even without driving them, no test drives or anything like that. And, hey, we do anything for the sake of convenience, don't we?
We do.
Convenience. Convenience is what's destroying this nation. And I'm not so sure convenience is destroying the nation. But, I mean, we're so quick to accept things without question because of convenience. And there's nothing wrong with improving ways to purchase things. But look how it affects everything. And look at the lives and that it affects by doing this. And, you know, you see, you know, who really benefits. And we're being pushed into this direction. And, you know, some people will say, well, it's progress. It's
Progress sometimes sucks.
Yeah.
One thing I'd really miss is a personal touch of local businesses. Like I said, you know the individual.
That's because we're old, but look at the youth of today.
I know, but I'm saying.
They have no idea what having relationships with a business, local
a business
needs.
Owner, yeah. To know them as a friend and neighbor.
Yeah.
And to order something online now and get a live person to talk to is almost a rarity.
The only person that you get to talk to is the person who delivers it to you, maybe.
Maybe. But if you call on telephone, you can get a computer to text all the information. All that's gone. And without the human touch, there's something really missing there. I know it's easier going in, punch numbering. I know it always, but I do miss that human touch. And if you have a problem with something, you try to talk to a computer to get returned or fixed. No, I miss that human touch. I do.
So what's it going to be like 50 years from now?
I won't be here to find out. So,
well, I mean,
you tell me, youngin.
Oh, yeah, I'll be here. Even then, I'd be 90, so. Hey, we'll be right back. I hear the music. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices of Integrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Butch Paul. We're talking about, what's it going to be like in 50 years, Butch? And
I don't know, Melody. I don't know. Like I said, I won't be here to see it. I don't worry. Picture won't be.
Well, what it's going to be is you're just going to have to think what you want.
And you got it.
And it'll show up on your doorstep. I want a bicycle. And next day, it'll magically appear. How about that?
You laugh about that, but they are linking things mm-hmm. together. I just read to you the other day, Mercedes is linking your mind to the car.
Yep.
Merging man and machine. So. Yeah. You never know. But back to the day, back to 2021, and back when I was born in 1948, 2021 seemed like a long ways off. It's here. But back to the real reality of life today.
Almost 2022.
Yes, absolutely. Middle of September already. New York hospital to pause baby deliveries after staffers quit over vaccine mandate. Folks, this is happening all over the country. I read to you last week, I think it was Utah or Idaho, that the hospitals were going to have to cut back on services. An upstate New York hospital said it will pause the delivery of babies. How do you pause delivery of babies? If you're going to come, they're going to come. But anyway, in 2 weeks, because of a spate of resignations by maternity units workers who are objecting to COVID-19 vaccination mandates. And folks, if this is happening in the Lewis County General Hospital in Lowville, it's happening in neighboring communities also. So where you go to have babies? But anyway, Lewis County General Hospital in Lowville will temporarily stop delivering babies after September 24th. During their news conference Friday afternoon, Lewis County Health System CEO Gerald Geyer said seven of 30 hospital workers are who resigned from the hospital's maternity ward. He added that another seven maternity unit staffers were undecided about getting the vaccine. The workers were objecting to a September 27th deadline. McGill will say that 20 of the staff members who resigned worked in clinical positions like nurses, therapists, and technicians. That is going to cause a shortage of workers and a limit of health care. I don't think that takes rocket science to figure it out. Do you, Melody?
I agree.
So, if there aren't enough health care workers, you figure it out. New pandemic rules for New York City restaurants, city workers, schools are in effect. From restaurants to schools and new requirements for city workers, big changes have started in New York City on Monday in the ongoing fight against coronavirus. More than 30 types of businesses will be affected by the city's new coronavirus vaccine mandate. Indoor dining includes restaurants, catering halls, event spaces, hotel banquet rooms, bars, nightclubs, cafeterias, grocery stores with indoor dining, coffee shops, and fast food or quick service with indoor dining. It includes restaurants, catering halls, event spaces, hotel banquet rooms. I got there. Anyway, that I said twice here. Indoor fitness includes gyms, fitness centers, fitness classes, pools, indoor studios, and dance studios. Indoor entertainment includes movie theaters, music and concert venues, museums, aquariums, and zoos, professional sports arenas, indoor stadiums and convention centers, exhibition halls, performing arts theaters, bowling alleys, arcades, pool and billiard halls, recreational game centers, adult entertainment, and indoor play areas. So that covers pretty much all those, folks. On Monday, city inspectors began enforcing the vaccine mandate. They're enforcing the vaccine mandate at restaurants. Diners will be required to show proof of vaccination for indoor dining at all eateries in the city as part of COVID safety rules obtained by the city. However, Mayor Bill de Blasio said that fines will not be imposed for the time being. Get caught out eating without a vaccine passport? You'll be given a ticket. Not fined yet, but given a ticket. fines are next. After all,
is the restaurant going to be fined, or is the individual going to be fined?
The individual. Maybe the restaurant too, but this is for the individual. But as Biden said, now we're the problem, Ellie. We're the troublemakers here. And he said he's been very patient with us. Isn't it nice that a politician's patient with us? Doesn't make you feel good they're patient with us. I mean, we haven't been patient with them at all, have we?
I hear you.
So they're going to start finding them. Now, White House won't rule out. Now, folks, pay attention. This is for real. This is on New York Post. White House won't rule out vaccine requirement for domestic travel. It's already in Canada. It's already in Canada. And Australia is a police state. That's it, period. Biden administration officials declined to be drawn Friday about whether Americans will soon need to present a proof of COVID-19 vaccination to travel domestically, but did not rule out such a requirement. Folks, that is called an internal passport. That's what that is. We're not taking any measures off the table, the White House Coronavirus Response Team Coordinator Jeff Zients said during a briefing when asked if the administration had ruled out ever implementing vaccine or testing requirements for domestic flights. Hours later, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was also asked if President Biden was considering mandating vaccinations to fly domestically. We're always looking at more we can do to protect and save lives. Oh, I'm so sick of hearing that. It's for our own good, folks. It's for
yeah, but you know what's amazing? I don't get it. They're always looking for ways in which they could save lives.
Yes.
But supposedly, if you get the vaccination, you're not going to die anyway. And the people who have the vaccinations, they're getting sick anyway.
And dying.
You know, so
dying.
I don't let's just take the sickness part. It's like, I don't understand.
If the vaccination
protects
you.
They don't even acknowledge that part.
No, they don't. And it's starting to come out, though. They can't hide it forever. But if the vaccinations really worked, we won't be a threat to anybody. They couldn't catch it. He says, obviously, he made a significant and bold announcement yesterday, so I don't have anything to predict or preview for you, but we'll continue to look for ways to save more lives while they murder 4,000 babies a day. But anyway, she's referring to Biden's announcement Thursday that businesses with 100 employees or more will have to require that staff either get vaccinated against COVID-19 or be tested weekly or have or face heavy fines. The president also directed the Transportation Security Administration to double fines levied against travelers who refuse to wear a mask. Meanwhile, Representative Don Brewer, a Democrat from Virginia, announced Thursday that he would introduce legislation requiring travelers to present proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test within 72 hours of boarding a domestic flight or traveling on Amtrak trains. The bill will also impose the same vaccine or test mandate announced by Biden Thursday on airport and Amtrak employees. Requiring airport and Amtrak travelers and employees to provide a proof of COVID, folks, that's called a vaccine passport. Vaccine or negative test is just common sense, Bayer said in a statement. These are easy steps we can take to make travel safer, as companies like United have always demonstrated with responsible policy changes. Americans want to return to normal. That includes traveling for business or pleasure, Bayer said. And Congress can help make people comfortable traveling again by putting basic requirements in the place of prevent the spread of COVID. Republicans have reacted angrily to the vaccine requirements, accusing the Biden administration of an unconstitutional overreach of power. That criticism grew louder after the White House Chief of Staff Ron Klein retweeted MSNBC anchor Stephanie Ruhle, who wrote Thursday, OSHA during this vax mandate has an emergency workplace safety rule, and it is the ultimate workaround for the federal government to require vaccinations. Now, folks, keep in mind that Trump was going to start the vaccinations in Operation Warp Speed. Remember that. Amid accusations that Klein has said the quiet part out loud, Psaki tried to defuse the controversy Friday when she's asking a briefing if the business of vaccinator test rule really was a workaround. Well, this is a tool, a step that, again, there's a legal authority based on a 50-year-old law and one that we took action on because the president wanted to use every lever at his disposal to protect more people and save more lives. But no, it's not. We don't have the ability to tell American you have to be vaccinated, she continued. There's a means of encouraging it or mandating it through certain certain pathways, and that's exactly what we've done. Now, folks, it's moving on to the point. It's coming unless people stand up, and some people are standing up now. There's starting to be a kickback here. Actually, in the UK, we're going to discuss in a minute, there's a kickback, and if they stand up, this will not happen, at least not right now. You're talking about the ones who have been vaccinated, Melody. Public Health in UK reports 80% of COVID deaths in August were vaccinated. 80%. How well is the vaccine working? Well, obviously, it's killing people. It's doing a real good job. Think about it, people. Further evidence proving the COVID-19 vaccination program is a huge failure has been released, which confirms throughout the whole of August 80% of the people who allegedly died of COVID-19 have been vaccinated against this disease. Now, I'm not going to go through all that. I don't have time to. But 80% have died in UK who've been vaccinated. Now, no more COVID-19 lockdowns, UK health minister suggests. Folks, it's not working. People are finally starting to get mad. It's out of Reuters. British Health Minister Sahid Jaheb said on Sunday he did not expect the country to see more lockdowns to fight the COVID-19 crisis and ruled out the use of vaccine passports to allow people to attend mass events. And not anticipating any more lockdowns. I think it would be irresponsible for any health minister around the world to take everything off the table, but I don't see how we can get to another lockdown. Asked about the so-called COVID passports, David said, what I can say is that we've looked at it properly, and whilst we should keep it as a reserve, as a potential option, I am pleased to say we will not be going ahead with plans for vaccine passports. People are getting tired of this. Praise God they are. Isn't that amazing, Melody?
Well, you know, it truly is. And I was just trying to pull up this one article because if you watch any of the morning news programs, and I mean, they talk about the unvaccinated as if we've got eight legs and it's from planet zebra, yeah. You know, and it's like it's all our fault. And it's like, you know what? If we want to take that risk, we're not hurting. I mean, if the vaccinated people were truly didn't get it, were 100%
safe,
I could get their argument. But then again, if they're 100% safe, then you know it doesn't make sense. I mean, but anyway, there was one where now you're going to have these mainstream media programs who are now telling people that the unvaccinated folks can just work from home. They can homeschool their kids and, you know, forget we're in society. This is like China.
It is.
On
it
their
is.
Grading scale. You know, how you can, you know, be a society, you know, grading scale. And, I mean, it's exactly the same thing. Telling us what we can and can't do. We're not accepted into society because we didn't do what we thought was best for us. We're not complying and conforming to their rules. We're not breaking any rules. So, I mean, it's just really is amazing.
Yeah, well, it is amazing. Basically, just read that 80% of the ones getting COVID in the UK are vaccinated. If 80% of the ones getting sick are already vaccinated, then it's not working, obviously. But here's another sad part. This is out of a New York report. 1 in 7 people have dumped their friends over COVID vaccine stance.
I believe that.
Yeah. 1 in 7 dumped their friends. And that's said the morning show star Jennifer Aniston claims she ended friendships over vaccination beliefs. It's sad. A different topic. We know that you're voting to have a recall election for the governor of California. I'm sure you already know that. And the found out the Republicans are going to the polls and been told they've already voted. Did you see that article?
No, I've seen, you know, some things, but
said this is one example. At El Camino Real Charter High School in Woodland Hills, some voters say they were told the computer showed them as already having voted, even though they had not. said Estelle Bender, 88 years old, said poll workers informed her she and several friends had already voted. She also allegedly witnessed another man arguing with poll workers over the same issue. So we know this is going to be another honest election. We know this.
Yeah, but you know what? I do ask you this. There was no. I really didn't think that they would be able to pull him out of there. I mean, it's, you know, considering it's California.
I don't know. The race is on. Some are saying yay, some are saying nay. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just sad that we can't even have an honest election for a state governor. Well, I mean, we know this is, we haven't had one for years, obviously, but this is just more telling.
Yes.
This is where we are in America, folks. Everything is unsteady continually. Now we have China giving aid to Afghanistan, stepped in where we left, and they're taking over and giving them aid. That's going to make them ally of the China. Obviously, we have Afghanistan sending military equipment, our military equipment, to Iran. America is in for a hard, hard, hard fall. Protect yourselves as best you can. And no matter how much you try to protect yourself, folks, it's going to hurt when it hits. But at least maybe you can survive it. But don't put it off. Do it now. Call Melody up. Talk to her. Ask some questions. 800-375-4188.
Well, you took us right down to that last second. Thank you.
And you're welcome.
We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Be safe out there. Good night, and God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.